Good evening, church. I hope you're all having a wonderful Wednesday. This evening, we have Wednesday Bible study, and we continue in the series, And God Said, and it's centered around Genesis chapter 1. And today, we are going to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping as per the Bible. All right, so just to premise the bottom line of the lesson, God established the principle of sowing and reaping. In this lesson, we'll explore how we reap what we sow, and consequently, we'll discuss how to sow things that reap blessings. Now, just to bring this at a very practical level, just demonstrating the principle of sowing and reaping, as many of you are aware, the Women's World Cup is happening in Australia at the moment, and it's being co-hosted by New Zealand. Now, obviously, all this women's team, in their mind, they're going to win the gold medal. So obviously, in their time before coming to Australia and New Zealand, they have worked very hard, and they've been sowing in training, sowing in exercising, sowing in eating right, just sowing in making the right choices so that their team, their starting 11, can be a World Cup winning team. And I just read in the internet, there was an article talking about the Matildas, that's the Women's Australia soccer team, their training schedule. And they were saying, you know, the way this team trains, in other words, the way they sow. During the camp, the Matildas train twice a day, typically starting off with a higher intensity, harder session, focusing on gameplay and team structures and how they're going to play against different formations. And then the next part of the training is a lighter afternoon session where the players break off to focus on technical details, with strikers focusing on shooting and defenders on defense work. So as we can see here, this Matildas, this team is focused. They have the goal in sight. And, you know, they want to reap what they sow. So they're sowing in their training and really pushing because, as I say, every team feels the gold medal is due to them. And just, I suppose, turning back our minds to the same principle, we want to sow into the kingdom of God so that we can reap the harvest that the Lord has promised to us. So in recapping the series of this lesson, this is lesson 2 in the series, And God Said. Just a recap of lesson 1 last week. Lesson 1 centered on the principle of separation. And in a spiritual sense, separation is about moving from the world and its systems and towards a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. What we feed grows and what we starve dissipates. Therefore, to remain separated from the world and to be unto Jesus, we must make wise decisions about what we allow into our spirits. What are we looking at? What are we taking in? Who are we associating with? So, you know, all these will help us to be separated from the world and unto God. So today we are going to look, as I've mentioned before, on the principle of sowing and reaping. And we will now turn to Galatians 6:7. That discusses this. So Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that he shall also reap." And again, we're going to read our theme scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. So the book of Genesis reveals much of what we know about nature and the character of God. And it serves to help us understand the principle of God from creation. And in the principle of sowing and reaping, Genesis 1:11 reads, and I will go to it. "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds, and it was so." So God intended for us in our Christian walk, just like the verse we've read, to be fruitful in our walk. So we've read Galatians where it says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will definitely reap. So there's three main considerations when we look at the principle of sowing and reaping. And the first principle is, we cannot plant one thing and hope for something else. For example, if you plant carrot seeds, we cannot hope, wish, and pray hard to receive cucumbers. Cucumbers are of a different nature and is not what is intended to be reproduced. So obviously, if we sowed carrots, we are going to reap carrots. And hence the principle of whatever you sow, you will reap. Therefore, in bringing this to our Christian life, we must understand the consequences between and the correlation between our conduct and the consequences that we reap. We can do the wrong thing for the right reason and it's still wrong. Or we can do the right thing for the wrong reason and it's still wrong. Therefore, we must do the right things for the right reasons if we want to be right with God. Ultimately, as children of God, our desire is to be in right standing with God. And yes, the Lord saves us, but we are called to live a godly and Christian life. Therefore, we must do the right thing for the right reason if we want to be right before God. Often people will repeat a pattern of sinful behavior, hoping for a different result. However, the only way to get different fruit is to sow different seed. Therefore, if you sow to the flesh, your fruits will be from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, then the fruit that you reap is spiritual fruit. And the book of Galatians lists all the wonderful spiritual fruits that we get from sowing in the Spirit: love, joy, peace, faithfulness, patience, meekness, long-suffering. And the Bible says against these, there is no such law. Therefore, our encouragement as Christians is to sow to the things of the Spirit and of God so we can reap these good things. The second consideration to look at under sowing and reaping is we cannot avoid the planting process and still expect a harvest. You know, when the farmer goes to the field and in his mind he wants a harvest, he has to expend energy. He's got to do many things. He's got to weed, he's got to cultivate, he's got to do pest control. You know, and paralleling this to our Christian life, you know, we cannot expect a blessing with a lack of effort on our part. Our faith has to come with works. You know, that is the Lord's principle and that's the Lord's way. In the last lesson, we learned that separation is not just being separate from the world, it's being separate unto the Lord. So the principle of sowing and reaping is not just about avoiding sinful actions and habits. It also involves cultivating and embracing righteous actions and righteous habits. You know, pursuing a relationship with Jesus involves time, effort on our part. So we have to sow to things like prayer. We have to sow to devotion. We have to sow to fellowship. If we're expecting a spiritual fruit, then as I read, we cannot avoid the planting process and still expect a harvest. Therefore, we need to sow into these Christian disciplines if we want the life of Christ to be expressed in us. And the third consideration to look at is, we cannot sow today and reap tomorrow. When a farmer plants a crop, you know, he's got to wait for it to actually grow to maturity. And, you know, it's probably a miracle if he plants a maize crop today and gets a harvest tomorrow. So it means the farmer has to tend to it. He's got to wait for this crop to come through. And the waiting involves he's got to wait through different weather patterns. He's got to wait for that process from when the seed is planted in to when a harvest, you know, comes about. And this may be, you know, a difficult pill to swallow, especially as they call it, this instant gratification or this microwave generation where, you know, we want things quickly. We want our benefits to accrue really quickly. But, you know, the process of Christian maturity involves patience. So when we sow in the spirit, we have to give it time, you know, for these fruits to be manifest in our lives, for these actions to manifest, and so that we can reap a blessing from them. So some reminders here. The bad news is you reap what you sow. If you sow unfaithfulness, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap fear. If you sow unrighteousness, you'll reap judgment. If you sow begrudgingly, you reap sparsely. But the good news is, always good news, again, is you reap what you sow. If you sow faithfulness, you'll reap peace. If you sow righteousness, you will reap blessings. And if you sow abundantly, the Lord promises that you will reap abundantly. So it's good to, you know, keep these three principles in mind, and I'll go through them again. We cannot plant one thing and hope for something else. The second consideration, we cannot avoid the planting process and still expect a harvest. And the third point, we cannot sow today and reap tomorrow. We have to be patient. So what does this mean for us practically when we are sowing and reaping? You know, what are we to sow as Christians, we may ask? The reason why we sow into God's kingdom is not to reap blessings personally. Obviously, the Lord, he does bless. He promises to bless. But we sow into God's kingdom so that the kingdom grows and God's will is done on earth as in heaven, as the Lord's prayer. May your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So we become co-laborers in bringing about the Lord's will on this earth. So we can align our thinking towards a kingdom-minded outlook by spending time in kingdom-focused prayer. From that mindset, we make wise choices about where to sow our time, our talent, and our treasure. So the three T's. So in dealing with our time is a precious gift and it has a finite supply. I mean, every day has 24 hours and it's really up to us how and where we direct our time. As we prioritize the amount of time we have, we should place a premium on time devoted to God's kingdom, on activities that bring eternal impact. You know, the Bible talks about we need to be heavenly minded, set our things on things that are above. Obviously, we do have earthly obligations and responsibilities, but in all this, overall, our focus should be kingdom focused. So we can ask ourselves such questions and examine ourselves, you know, how is our prayer life? How is our study of God's word? As we've been learning, you reap what you sow. So if you expect God's word to work in your life, then you actually have to sow and actually learn what God says about your particular situation and actually stand on the word and stand on his promises. But to do this, you need to sow in the word and get familiar with what it says about your situation. The word says you are more than a conqueror in whatever situation you're going through. But if you don't know this, then you're at a loss as to how to overcome in your Christian life. So the time that we spend in prayer and study in God's word is a worthy investment, a worthy matter to sow into. You know, what about corporate worship with unbelievers? The Bible tells us not to forsake the gathering of saints, especially as we see the last days approaching. There is a blessing that is released in corporate worship and corporate fellowship. So let us be faithful in doing this. What about building personal relationships with those in the body of Christ? It is important, you know, as the Bible says, iron sharpens irons, and, you know, we can encourage each other, especially before this time that the Lord returns. So these are really ways that we can, you know, the time that we can use our time to sow into the kingdom of God, knowing that, you know, it is a finite thing that's given to us. So we have to redeem the time, as the Bible says. Let's be wise and redeem our time, and overall for the kingdom of God. The next is our talent. We are a body, the Bible says, and the body is made up of so many different parts. And each part is needed to function. There is no part that is not needed. So whatever you're involved in is worthy. Whether you're sending an encouraging note to someone to encourage them, whether you're involved in the ushering minister, you're at the front, you're praying, you're in worship. The body of Christ needs all these unique gifts for it to function as a body. You know, therefore we need to ask ourselves, what talents do you have? And what can you sow into the kingdom of God for the furtherance of the work of the Lord, for the furtherance of the kingdom, so that, as we mentioned before, so that the Lord's will is done on earth as it is done in heaven. Let us challenge and encourage ourselves to look for ways to sow our talent into the kingdom of God. And the next T, our treasure. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about treasure and probably specifically money. We'll just read what Luke 6:38 says, and I will just go to it. So I'll read Luke 6:38. It says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." You know, that's what the Bible says. There is a promise, you know, in our giving. That the Lord sees in our secret place what we have determined in our heart to give, and the Lord watches over it and blesses it. And, you know, as Luke 6:38 says, the measure you give, it will be given back to you. So pressed down, shaken together, and running over, basically an overflow of blessing. And obviously we're talking financially here also, but, you know, blessings are manifold, all other kinds of blessing. So in terms of, you know, how we can be intentional with our finances towards the kingdom, obviously, there's, you know, the Bible exhorts us to pay our tithes, and a famous passage in Malachi 3, bring your tithes, you know, to the storehouse of God, and he will pour out a blessing so great that you cannot contain it. That's one way we can be involved in this ministry of our talent, of our treasure. Giving towards special offerings from time to time. There's different appeals and causes that the church supports in love. So that's another way we can demonstrate, you know, that we are sowing our treasure into kingdom-minded endeavors. And also sacrificial giving. I mean, I would say all giving is sacrificial, but sacrificial giving where, you know, you determine, you make a decision yourself to give sacrificially in some area. And also, we also exhorted to spend the rest of our money wisely and prayerfully. You know, there's a famous saying that if you don't tell your money where to go, it will tell you where it went. Meaning you'll just, I suppose, recover afterwards and see, oh, what happened to all that money? So we also exhorted in our giving to be good stewards, to be prayerful, and to be wise how we use our money. So as we've looked at sowing your time, talent, and your treasure into the kingdom of God is a privilege, and it reaps blessings. We should give wholeheartedly, cheerfully. We can give with confidence, knowing Jesus will ensure we reap what we sowed. Thank you.